thanks for joining us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, many times we don't think about our fire departments until we actually need them. And on the show today, we're going to get an update from the president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association, Chris Klon. I hope you'll join in with your questions as we talk with Chris. What do you want to know about firefighting? Do you live in a community that depends on volunteer firefighters? Maybe you are a firefighter. What's the experience been like for you? Or maybe you were and retired. Love to hear from you as well. The number to call is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Chris Klon, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
How long have you been a firefighter?
Well, I just passed my 39th year anniversary as a volunteer firefighter here in Wisconsin.
Man, oh man. So what motivated you to join?
Well, that's a great question. I had the luxury of growing up one block away from a fire station. So as a little kid, every time the fire whistle went off, everybody in the neighborhood ran up the block, rode up the block on our bikes to see with the firemen coming in, the volunteer firefighters coming into the station and getting in the trucks and leaving for calls. And, you know, there's nothing more exciting for a young child anywhere in this country to hear that fire whistle blow and hear the sirens as the volunteers go out to the calls and make a difference in their communities. So that's kind of how the seed got set. And then once I got a job to a very small community, and my supervisor asked me, well, you know, they're looking for people to join the fire department. Do you think you could help out? And I had the luxury of lots of time as a young single guy in a different town. And I joined the fire department and immediately became part of that community, and it set the hook for me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing, the volunteer fire departments. I can remember being in a meeting in Cottage Grove. You know, it was probably 50 people in the meeting, and all of a sudden, three or four guys jumped up at the same time and ran out the door. Somebody else said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, there must be a fire somewhere," because they all just immediately jumped up right in the middle of whatever was going on and ran out the door.
Yeah, and it's been a tradition in this country, you know, to have volunteer firefighters and provide protection to their communities. It started way back in 1762. Ben Franklin formed the first volunteer fire department in the United States. So 285 years later, you know, here in Wisconsin, 95% of the fire departments in the state are volunteer or mostly volunteer. So most of that fire protection and a lot of the emergency medical services are provided by those fire departments today.
What are the biggest challenges that fire departments are facing around the state right now?
Well, one is recruitment and retention. The problem is that our volunteer force has gone down significantly in the recent decades. The volunteer numbers of volunteer firefighters in the state and nationally are down about 30%. In that same time frame, the population of the United States and Wisconsin has gone up significantly, 30%, and the call volume has doubled. So we have fewer volunteers covering more calls a lot fewer people. So that increases the demands on our fire service.
Josh emailed. He's a trained firefighter and has tried to get into the Campbell Fire Department, but they won't let him in because he doesn't live on French Island. He's within 3 to 4 minutes of response time, but still can't get in. It's frustrating for him. He thinks this is a reason maybe some departments are short on personnel.
And that's certainly true. You know, fire departments generally have a liver and work mileage limits. And if their ranks are sufficient enough that they can support those rules, then it generally stands. But as fire departments continue to get shorter and shorter with volunteers, you know, my fire department recently had to expand those mileage requirements or allowances so we could incorporate more folks that might want to be on the fire department. So I think that's what Pat has caught on.
What are the differences? Look at the differences between the needs of rural and urban departments.
Well, I don't think, you know, here in Wisconsin, it's really a function of how big the tax base is to support a fire department. Our larger cities all have a large tax base and a large number of our large population to serve. So they generally are served by career fire departments, that the firefighters, it's their full-time job, and they that's the way they make a living. In a lot of parts of Wisconsin, it is rural suburban, so that the tax base isn't large enough to support a full-time, fully salaried fire department. So that's why volunteers have filled that niche in Wisconsin. And so, you know, there's over 21,000 volunteer firefighters here in the state. And, you know, again, that's what serves most of those smaller municipalities and rural areas. But it is just a function of whether they can fully support financially those fire departments.
Yeah. How are fire departments working to solve these problems?
Well, you know, recruitment and retention is always going to be a problem, I think. You know, one of the best things I've ever heard is, you know, young people today aren't like I am. And, you know, as a baby boomer, you know, my motivations, my upbringing, you know, allows me to do different things. And the younger people aren't necessarily have those same values, and they may have a little different perspective on their lives. And let's face it, you know, being a volunteer firefighter is a huge commitment of time, huge commitment of effort, to provide those services to their communities. And some people, honestly, I think would rather have a much more scheduled volunteer. I think young people still, and studies show, young people still want to volunteer, but they tend to want it on a schedule. And the volunteer fire service is, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. There's an expectation that you're going to be called to action and use your volunteer time to service your community in those emergency calls.
And the funding you talked about funding, and of course the large cities with the tax base and so forth. What about the funding in the rural areas?
Well, recently the Wisconsin State Legislature passed part of their revenue sharing bill last year that basically set the bar for funding. So all fire departments in the state have to be funded at that same level. The 2022 level, and it can't go below that in those communities. So that went a long way in solving some of those baseline funding issues for those smaller fire departments. And that's a good thing. The problem is the inflationary pressure on fire equipment and services have kept going up. So we have a bottom, but we don't have a top. So those pressures for funding will continue. And as those inflationary pressures continue to raise the cost of doing business in the fire service, that's just the way it's going to be. And the other thing is, you know, you should recognize that all volunteer fire departments also generally fundraise a significant portion of their revenues. You know, whether it's a pancake breakfast or a dance or a fireman's festival, literally studies show that up to 15% of the funds that volunteer fire departments use, they're raising on their own, which is another time drag for for those volunteers.
Yeah. Thinking about the Cottage Grove Firemen's Festival. Alex in Madison has some questions. Let's go there. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Larry, and your guest. You just made some comments about young people not really getting into the volunteer firefighting. What goes through my mind is how hard it would be to have a job and be in the workforce and support yourself at the same time being on call to attend to those fires and incidences. For your guests, I would love to hear how people balance that out.
Well, thanks for your question, Alex. And that is truly the challenge right there. You know, we talk a lot in society about work-life balance, and volunteering for a fire department adds another layer, another time constraint, another pressure that costs a person. And so I think young people or anybody who volunteers for the fire service, you know, needs to understand that it truly is a major commitment, you know, and it's not just responding to the calls, the emergency calls. It's all the training. It's the other maintenance issues, the fundraising, the meetings, all that is an additional drag on your time. And that takes you away from other things. But I think, you know, obviously with 21,000 volunteers in the state, you know, there is a significant number of people that are willing to commit that time to serve their communities and give back and make a difference. And those are the people, and again, I know there's young people that way that agree with those statements and are willing to make those commitments and make those sacrifices to serve their communities.
On the other hand, there's got to be there are all right. It's a sacrifice in one way, but it's got to be there have to be a lot of pluses for someone who is actually doing this work.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what you give, you get back tenfold. You truly do. You know, you're serving your community, you're making a difference. There's an excitement factor, certainly. For a lot of firefighters, it is exciting to be part of the fire service. It's exciting to meet the physical and mental challenges at an emergency call. The other part that I think that really drew me into it when I first started was the camaraderie of being on a fire department. You know, you instantly make 30 friends that are on your fire department, and those folks are from all walks of life, and you have to accept that and understand that and usually become very fast friends with that that shared objective, that shared effort in providing emergency services for your community.
Yeah. Samantha and Ettrick emailed to ask what the requirements are for volunteer versus professional firefighters.
Well, here in Wisconsin, the standards are the same. From a statewide level, we all have to go through the basic entry-level training. It's 60 hours. It's generally offered by our technical colleges. Every fire department has to offer a minimum of 12 trainings for their members, and most fire departments offer, you know, twice a month training. So it's 24 nights of training plus some Saturdays. You generally have to be 18 years old. You have to have a driver's license, and you have to pass any specific fire department specific standards that they may ask. But understand that it takes some effort. You have to be physically fit. You have to be mentally fit to be able to operate and see some things that not everybody gets to see or should see, in order to be effective and efficient in the volunteer fire service. So the trainings are the same for professionals and volunteers. It's just a function of how much time you're going to be putting in, depending on whether you're making your living doing that or you're doing it as a volunteer in your department.
Yeah. We are talking today with Chris Klon, president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association, about volunteer they're all regular firefighters, but rural and urban firefighters, I guess we could say. And you can join in. I hope you will. The number to call, 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at firefighters and firefighting in Wisconsin, talking about how firefighters in the state and volunteer firefighters keep communities safe with our guest, Chris Klon, president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association. Let's take a call from Ernie in Madison next. Ernie, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey there. Just by coincidence, I happened to get in my car as this program was going. I am a retired fire chief from Madison Fire Department, and I am currently an instructor at Madison College. And we run a high school fire academy, and we get mostly seniors. We get some juniors, and it's a semester-long program, and it certifies them to Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, state certification level, and also hazmat. And I thought that it'd be worth knowing for population out there, as they have students or children that are seniors, to explore this idea. Madison has it, and we sometimes host academies in Mount Horeb and sometimes in Baraboo, depending on if they get enough students that are interested. But primarily it happens here at the campus, so down on the Protective Services
Building. Boy, that sounds great, Ernie. And do you, in your experience, do the some of the students who go through this program wind up as firefighters?
Well, over half of them, lately, we've been doing this program for about 7 years now. Right now, a little over half of them end up with internships with fire departments, and they live at the fire station. The department will pay for them to go back to Madison College and get an associate degree program in fire science. And some departments will pay for them to get a paramedic certificate so that they can serve as, either in the volunteer departments or get jobs on full-time fire departments.
Well, it sounds like a great program. And, Chris, you're probably familiar with it.
Yes, I am. My fire department just offered a high school class here, and we had 13 students enrolled. And right now we're just waiting for most of them to turn 18 in order to join fire departments here in my county. And also recently, the Department of Safety and Professional Services obtained some grant money that helps support that all across the state at different fire departments and at different vocational technical colleges, to help get young people, specifically high school kids, into that training to see if that's what they would like to do for a living, and then certainly prepare them to be either on a volunteer fire department or to pursue that as a career with a paid fire department. So it's going well. It's grown a lot in the last 5-6 years, and I think it'll continue to grow as we continue to try to recruit folks to be part of the volunteer fires.
Well, I like the idea, too, that as part of the training, as Ernie was talking about here, that they actually qualify firefighter, whatever the number one and number two grades that they have to go through. So they get a start on the training and get a pretty good start from the sound of it, Ernie.
Yeah, it's state certification. They're technically trained to be able to go into a fire with a fire crew.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Sandy and Marinisco, Michigan. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question. Three of our smaller communities in northern Vilas County are consolidating services because of the problems we had with retention and recruitment and the cost of volunteering. So we've consolidated three smaller communities, and we're working on getting equipment in common and sharing resources. I'm just wondering, is there other places in the state that are also doing that, trying to consolidate more smaller rural communities together?
Yeah. What about that, Chris?
Well, yes, that's exactly, one of the ways communities are to overcome that recruitment and retention problem. Consolidations of fire departments, have picked up in frequency recently. Here in my county, we just had three fire departments combine to share resources and share firefighters and skill sets to meet the needs of those communities. And I foresee in the future that will be much more common, that combination or combining fire departments, simply because, there's some efficiencies that can be gained, but also, it saves a lot of money. And especially when you have to share all the resources from fire equipment, fire trucks, to personnel to staff those emergency services. So it's coming. It's one of the ways to solve some of those shortages in firefighters.
Well, I got to believe, a fire truck is not a cheap, you just don't go down to the local dealer and pick one out and deal with about it or anything like that. What do they cost these days?
Well, that's interesting. I mentioned, the inflationary pressures in fire equipment. My fire department bought a truck, an engine, 5 years ago, and it cost $500,000. We just ordered that same engine, the same blueprints, the same capabilities, the same tank size, the same pump size, and it cost $1 million for a fire engine. So the inflation on that truck was, 100% in 5 years. And we're seeing that in all sorts of things. Some of it a result of at least blamed on COVID, but there's certainly a lot of inflationary pressures as fire departments continue to try to upgrade their equipment and keep their firefighters safe. So $1 million is kind of the going rate for a fire engine nowadays.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Mike in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. My question is regarding what we were talking about, training all the new young firefighters, and I was interested in what we are currently teaching them about PFAS, the use of PFAS and alternatives, as well as what we're currently teaching them about how to put out electric car fires and other lithium ion and electric source fires. If you could dabble into that a little bit, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate it. Chris, what's going on with training in those areas?
Well, PFAS, are a chemical found in Class B foams. Class B foams are used for flammable liquids. Obviously, those PFASs have found their way into drinking water, and the governor has been very active on making sure that stops. And so there was a budget initiative recently, and they picked up all those Class B foams with PFAS from across the state, from any fire department that wanted to get rid of that foam. So as part of a follow-up to that, now there's green certified Class B foams that fire departments are buying to ensure that no more PFAS get back into the environment. The other thing is fire departments also use a Class A foam, which are used on ordinary combustibles. It's a different based foam. And again, those foams are all passing a third-party certification process that they call green. So obviously we give firefighters, new firefighters and old firefighters, that kind of information as part of their training, that those chemicals are now being phased out and will be gone very soon, so we don't cause any environmental problems. Now, the electrical car problem is a whole nother can of worms there. There really isn't a consensus in the firefighting world on what exactly we should be doing with electric car battery fires. They're a challenge. They're all lithium-based. And if it's and lithium is a metal, a flammable metal. It ends in IUM, so it makes it a flammable metal. And those metals, when they burn, are very intense and very difficult to cool. So there's been cases where fire departments have poured 30,000 gallons of water on an electric vehicle without putting it out. There's some other products on the market, a car blanket, for example, that's supposed to smother those electric vehicle battery fires, but they have found those not necessarily as effective as they thought they would be. So right now there's lots of research going on electric vehicle fires. It's one of the things that fire departments are training on to recognize problems and disable some of those batteries to eliminate some of the potential for those fires. But I understand it's not just electrical vehicles. It's electrical bikes, rechargeable batteries for any hand tools, all those types of things. There's a potential for that lithium ion battery to burn. And I know some horror stories of recharging electric bikes in a hallway in an apartment building and that bike starting on fire and causing apartment fires and risk to people and property. So we're still working on that. I don't think there's a consensus solution to those problems yet. Obviously, the smaller the battery, the more likely we can cool it down and extinguish that fire. But when you get into car-sized batteries, that's when the difficulty and the size of the problem really challenge us as firefighters.
Yeah, I would think so. Back to the fire trucks and so forth, I think a Pierce company in Appleton is the largest manufacturer of firefighting apparatus in the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
They're right up there. They're one of the top two anyway. It's owned by Oshkosh Truck, and they put out 1,000 trucks a year out of the Appleton. They also have a couple other manufacturing facilities farther south in the United States. And a majority of the fire engines and ladders here in Wisconsin are all built by Pierce over in Appleton. And they're beautiful trucks and really they do a really nice job on those.
You know, firefighters don't just fight fires. They also help people in other dangerous situations. I was looking at some data, and it looks like their firefighters are more often asked about some other situations than actually putting out a fire.
Well, Larry, you're exactly right. You know, here in Wisconsin, fire departments responded to over 300,000 calls last year, and 64% of those were emergency medical calls.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a majority of the work that a fire department does now is emergency medical service. And firefighting, actual firefighting, is only about 4% of the calls that we go to. So it's a vast minority of the calls that we actually respond to. So that just, again, puts a higher level of training and a higher level of call volume on fire departments. You know, we're all first aid, we're all CPR certified, automated external defibrillator certified. Many are also EMTs to help meet that need. And that, again, is another training standard, another time constraint that even small volunteer fire departments have to meet. And I held an EMT license for 25 years. Because we do still, my little fire department goes to a majority of emergency medical calls. And so then the other calls we get, you know, car accidents, fire alarms, good intention calls, you know, they smell gas or something. So that's really the balance of our jobs as volunteer firefighters is EMS, alarms, toxic situations, rescues, and then fires.
Man, so that you have to get that training. You have to be certified, and I imagine the equipment that I would imagine there's equipment for starting hearts up again and things of that nature.
Absolutely, AEDs, you know, jump kits for all sorts of medical problems, and again, you know, small volunteer fire departments are the toolbox of the community. You know, we basically take care of everything the police can't. We basically respond, and if a problem's identified, we solve the problem with all the equipment we carry, and we have to carry lots and lots of equipment to meet all the needs that we might run into or calls for services. So it's a challenge.
Chris Klon is president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association. Questions for him, or maybe an experience to share? Were you involved in as a firefighter, or maybe you're involved right now, or maybe you've been involved in instruction relating to it? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at firefighters and firefighting in Wisconsin with our guest today, Chris Klon, president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email to ideas@WPR.org. And just a note, Wisconsin Public Radio programs, we have a special role in our community, just like the firefighters do. They're unique because our programs are unique, I think, because we are listener-supported. Just like the firefighters are listener-supported, are supported by their communities. Give now and you'll help us meet a special challenge, one that will make your gift go even further. When 500 people donate before the 27th of June, that's our one-day drive, a group of generous members will add an extra $10,000 for the WPR programs that you enjoy and value. So give now at WPR.org/donate. You can be one of the first 500 people to donate. Love to have you do that. That's WPR.org/donate. Well, we have some callers online. John in Black River Falls, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Larry. I was a firefighter for the Department of Natural Resources, and it's important to note that the rural fire departments are very important in helping to fight rural fires. We worked with them a lot. We trained with them a lot, and they're an important part of that type of firefighting.
John, thanks. Wildfires, that's another area, Chris, that you get involved in.
Certainly. And John makes a great point. You know, here in Wisconsin, I'm a retired TNR forest ranger. So that was part of my how I made my living. But, you know, John makes a good point. Here in Wisconsin, it's almost unique in that in wildland fires, it's a partnership between the DNR and those local rural fire departments. And that partnership includes, you know, training. DNR also runs a grant program to help purchase wildland firefighting equipment for those local fire departments. And obviously we go to the same calls, work together, and that's one of the reasons the wildland fire problem is literally minimized here in Wisconsin, because we bring all the resources that we can to keep those fires small and under control in a very efficient manner, because we use our partners there at the DNR to help us with that job.
Yeah. John, appreciate that call, John. Thank you so much. Larry in Monona, your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hello, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I was a volunteer firefighter with the city of Monona for 30 years before I retired. And I came to the fire service by accident. I called on an ad for an ambulance driver. And I had been a medic in the Air Force, and I got to the interview, and they said, we need someone to drive a fire truck. And my heart sunk. And then the other chief said, can you drive stick shift? And I said, yes. And they called me back the next day, and I was hired. I had about 2 days of training, and then I was on shift. And in the 30 years that I was in the fire service, I was amazed at the advances in training and equipment that just have made the whole service much more professional, whether you're a volunteer or a paid department. And even the mutual aid box alarm system that was designed for multiple departments to respond to large events, all of these things went to making better safety for the public.
Larry, I appreciate the call very much, and I'm sure, Chris, you want to comment.
I do. You know, that's a typical story. You know, we need some help. Can you do something? Some skill you have, we can marry up with a skill we need on the volunteer fire service. But Larry mentioned the mutual aid box alarm system. What that is a pre-planned mutual aid system between different fire departments or multiple fire departments. And it has made things much more efficient. It allows us to share resources, fire trucks, and certain specialized equipment, but also personnel. So a lot of small volunteer fire departments have problems staffing daytime fires because their members are working at their real jobs. So this mutual aid box alarm system has allowed us to streamline asking for help with neighboring fire departments and different specialized equipment, so we can get that faster and bring enough people to actually solve the fire problem or whatever problem we're trying to solve by sharing those resources. And that's really been really effective and efficient to help with those shortages of volunteer fire departments by sharing everything, equipment and people.
Yeah. And Larry, thanks a lot for your work over the years and appreciate your call very much. Karen in Madison, your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Larry. And I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Oh, Chris.
Chris, I just have a short story about the firefighters. I love animals. And there was someone had found a small possum, and I went out of my house, and it was sitting up against a tree dead. It was like a setup, you know. Mm-hmm. Someone had set it up. And so I called. It scared me, you know. And I called, and the police came by and picked it up and took it to have it tested to see if someone had poisoned it. And about an hour later, Paco, a firefighter, and another woman, out of nowhere, they showed up at my house just to see if I was okay, and stayed about an hour just to talk to me and make sure that I was, you know, okay because of the incident. And that's something firefighters, I didn't know they did.
Well, Karen, thank you so much. It sounds like a health check, Chris.
Yeah. You know, that's part of the job. And certainly, you know, all firefighters are very, very compassionate people. That's why we do the things we do. And our goal is to serve the community. And sometimes it means, you know, checking in on people and doing kind of the extra things. And it sounds like Karen got a little extra service to make sure that she was okay. And that's part of the job as a volunteer firefighter.
Yeah. Karen, thank you very much for giving us that story. Appreciate it. Helen in West Salem, your turn. Hi, Helen.
Hi. Many years ago, our son was in kindergarten, and the kindergarten class went to La Crosse and took a tour around in their fire department. My son happened to be homesick, so he couldn't go. So later, he had his own personal tour. So my question is, do they still do this? Do classes go through the fire departments in different places?
Yeah, interesting. Helen, thanks for calling. Does that occur, Chris?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, there's obviously Fire Prevention Week in October, so a lot of fire departments have school programs, whether we go to the schools or we have the school come down to the fire station and give a little tour, and then plus some education there. That's pretty much standard operating procedure for every fire department in that week in October. But we also have open houses around the year to try to, A, recruit folks, but obviously young kids and young adults are future of the fire service, and planting that seed is very important, and that's certainly part of our efforts to continue with that recruitment and the retention on the volunteer fire side.
Yeah. Helen, thank you for calling. Kevin in Monona, your turn. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah. So my question is, why I noticed this year one community didn't have a fire ban going on, but other communities all around did. And why isn't this a state, a swept area, a whole thing where one area has a fire ban and one area right next to it doesn't have a fire ban? So I don't understand that.
Okay. Fire bans. Do you guys have a ban, Chris?
Well, I assume he's talking about wildland fire bans. And there are about 50% of the state is covered by the Department of Natural Resources, and they obviously have expertise in wildland fires, and they set those regulations, according to the fire danger. It's up to all the local municipalities to set their restrictions on open burning outside. And the hope is that they follow the Department of Natural Resources recommendations for that. But if it isn't covered by, or Department of Natural Resources doesn't have jurisdiction, then it's up to the local municipalities to do that. And again, some are very, very good about that, and some perhaps aren't necessarily as understanding of the risk associated with that open burning. So yeah, it's up to the local municipalities. And as far as Kevin's point, it's absolutely true. There are differences in all those municipalities. And sometimes neighbors have conflicting information and conflicting restrictions. So it's kind of a challenge.
Yeah. Kevin, thank you. Andy in Door County, your turn. Hi, Andy.
Hi, good afternoon. So Chris and Larry, the question I have is as far as like recruitment and retention. So I'm 39. I've been on a volunteer paid on call department for 22 years. It started when I was really young. It just seems that when you recruit somebody from like high school or in the college years, we only at this generation now, we only get about 5 years out of that individual. And then all of a sudden now they're gone and we're back to, just the same, out of the 50 people on our department, we're back to the same 15 or 20 that seem to respond. And I'm just wondering what the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association is doing for that recruitment and retention problem. And I know it seems to be the same statewide. And if you have any tips on how we can just retain people and get more people than the regular people that show up on our calls.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you, Andy. That is, if I had the answer to this, I would be very, very famous. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we have to understand that, I'm an older person in the fire service. The reasons I joined may not equate to why my children might join. But some things that I've learned in recruitment and retention, certainly recruitment, is with these younger generations, we really have to, find some motivation to meet their needs, And for example, recruiting on social media and outreach is essential to get that younger generation. We also have to give those younger folks expectations of what we expect. I think, they deserve to know up front what they're getting into. And so they understand those challenges initially. But in general, as you age, as you get older, you're much less likely to volunteer. So we have to go after those younger folks, but we also have to understand that those time commitments, those family commitments come up as they mature. The child rearing ages, those family commitments can be a challenge to continue with full full commitment to the volunteer fire service. We also have to adjust schedules and again, make things more accommodating to those younger folks, understanding that they may have other obligations with their time. And that's something that fire departments traditionally haven't been very flexible with. And the other thing I think that really helps with recruitment is those younger folks have a very short attention span. And we have to make sure that the training we're giving them is very relevant and organized, and things are kept very on schedule. I think that helps them understand that you know, that's the way we should operate, that we value their time and we value their efforts, but we have to keep things organized for them to keep them engaged in the volunteer fire service.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's good points. Paul in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Paul.
My question was about if you had a house fire. I understand that the fire department is in control of the facility at the time of the fire, but also that afterwards, sometimes people are prevented from getting their possessions.
For a time period anyway. Comment on that, Chris?
Yes. So, you know, you are correct, Paul, that when there's a fire, the fire department, quote, takes ownership of that structure to extinguish that fire. And that authority is all in state statute that allows that to happen. But there is also an obligation on the fire department's sense is that they have to do an investigation to see what caused that fire. And so sometimes that means that the owners of the structure may be prohibited for a period of time of getting things out of the house so they can do an accurate and effective investigation on the cause of the fire. And that, again, that responsibility is outlined in state statute to those fire departments. But certainly, you know, once that investigation is concluded, once those questions have been answered, that certainly the fire department will allow those owners to go back into their structures and probably help them salvage what they can for those owners and help them secure that structure from outside elements or any other kind of issues.
Yeah. Paul, thank you. What can we do to support firefighters in our community, Chris?
Well, there's an interesting statistic I read that 50% of the residents in Wisconsin don't even know that their fire department is a volunteer fire department. I think, you know, with 95% of the state's fire departments all volunteer or mostly volunteer, people have to understand that these people are all these volunteers are going out of their way to help those folks. And then I would ask them to obviously support those local fire departments through the fundraising efforts that the local fire department is making, but also to express their support to the local governments and the municipalities that are hiring these fire departments to do that job in that community service and give us that support. I mean, that's all that we really ask for, whether it's financial support or moral support or to help keep that volunteer service active and involved in their community to provide those services.
Well, you guys are doing a wonderful job. Men and women are doing a wonderful job, Chris. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Chris Klon, president of the Wisconsin State Firefighters Association. Good to have him with us today. And thank you for joining us. So all our shows are a team effort, and we've got producers Clara Kniper, Joel Patnaud. Our technical director, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins on duty today. Our executive director is Jill Nadeau, of course. And I'm your host, Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to another visit tomorrow here on Wisconsin Public Radio News. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store.